Well, bless God.
That's a whole lot better, isn't it?
I'm spoiled. I'm used to my hands being free. Somebody said, I know that's right. I just like my hands to be free. I speak with my hands sometimes, but so you're only going to get half the message with one hand. Glory. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read some passages of scripture, and these are going to be from the Message Bible. The Message Bible, Pastor Deborah, so be able to follow along with me. Matthew 28:1-7. It's only befitting that we start here in terms of our time today. Matthew 28, starting at verse 1 through 7. It says, after the Sabbath, as the first light of the new week dawned, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to keep vigil at the tomb. Suddenly, the earth reeled and rocked under their feet as God's angel came down from heaven, came right up to where they were standing. He rolled back the stone and then sat on it. Shafts of lightning blazed from him. His garments shimmered snow white. The guards at the tomb were scared to death. They were frightened. They couldn't move. The angel spoke to the woman, there is nothing to fear here. I know you are looking for Jesus, the one they nailed to the cross. He is not here. He was raised just as he said. Come and look at the place where he was placed. Now get on your way quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead. He is going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. That's the message. Would you take a moment right now and just again, just thank God for Jesus. Come on. Thank God for Jesus. For it's in this one message, this one passage of scripture, that changed everything for all mankind. And this morning, for the next few moments, I want to talk about living in the reality of the resurrection. Living in the reality of the resurrection. Say that. Living in the reality of the resurrection. And the reason why I believe that's important for us today, and particularly in these times, is that if we are not intentional, we can start to feel some kind of way as if all of this really doesn't matter or it doesn't mean as much as it used to. And there's so much going on to try to cancel out so many things. And you have to know that part of it is our belief system as well as believers. But I want to encourage all of us, because we must live in the reality of the resurrection if we're going to live in victory, if we're going to live as overcomers. If you're going to live a prosperous life, you're going to have to live in the reality of the resurrection. You've got to remind yourself that it's real. One of the things that I've said before, I've talked about the danger of religion. And the problem with religion, or the danger of religion, is that it gives the appearance of having a relationship with God that doesn't really exist. Religion will do that for you. You just go through the motions. It's one of the things that we have to be mindful of, because Jesus did not give his life to start a religion. He gave his life to establish relationship. And that relationship being once again with God, our Heavenly Father. With his Father. Living in the reality of the resurrection means that we live in the place where we continually remind ourselves that this is true. What we celebrate, what we acknowledge today is true. It's real. It happened. It's real. It's true. And it happened. And as a result of it, you and I, we benefit from it every day of our lives. So with all the things that are going on, you live in the reality of the resurrection, which means you live in the reality of the King and His kingdom. You and I live in that kingdom. When we look in the Word, one of the things that we're able to see is how that none of this is happenstance. None of this is by chance. For God had set this up before the foundations of the world. He put in motion a plan that to many would look absolutely crazy. And even today, many still are questioning the validity of our faith. But you and I must make a statement to the world that what we believe, we know to be true. And we stand sure-footed in it, believing that God Himself will prove it out so. When Jesus sent out the disciples, now this is after His resurrection, He says, go and make disciples of all men. And you'll look and you'll read at the end of Mark 16, it says that they went about doing works, doing miracles, with the Lord confirming. Say confirming signs. Confirming signs. As we live in the reality of the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, He will always show confirming signs. There will always be confirming signs. The plan to save the world didn't start when Adam fell. It was before Adam was even created. But God, in His wisdom, when He sent His Son, He sent Him in a way to make the work a complete work. It's in Isaiah 53, 1 through 12. I'm reading from the Message Bible again. I want you to listen to this. If we read this from the King James, it starts out, whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? But this is how it reads in the Message Bible. It says, who believes what we've heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and the people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way, and God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on Him. On Him. He was beaten. He was tortured. But He didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered, and like sheep being sheared, He took it all in silence. Justice miscarried. And He was let off. And He did. And did anyone really know what was happening. He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten, bloody, for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked, threw him in a grave with a rich man, even though he'd never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true. Still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he give himself as an offering for sin so that he'd see life come from it. Life, life, and more life. And God's plan will deeply prosper through him. Out of that terrible travail of soul, he'll see that it's worth it and be glad he did it. Through what he experienced, my righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous ones. As he himself carries the burden of their sins, therefore, I'll reward him extravagantly. The best of everything, the highest honors, because he looked death in the face and didn't flinch. Because he embraced the company of the lowest, he took on his own shoulders the sins of many. He took up the cause of all the sheep. That was God's plan from the beginning. That was God's plan from the beginning. And it was Jesus who submitted himself to fulfill it. When we read and we look and we see all the different pictures and images of Jesus, what we have to really recognize is often it doesn't represent him at all. He didn't have a finely cropped beard and flowing hair that looked like it had just been permed and curled. And when he hung on the cross, it didn't look anything like what we could have imagined. He was beaten beyond recognition. The price of sin laid on him broke his body before he even got to the cross. It was nothing but the power of God that got him on the cross, because many will tell you he should have died long before even getting there. But there was something on the inside of him that said, I've got to keep going. I've got to keep going. I can't stop now. And the scripture talks about when he fell down and they brought someone else to carry the cross for him. He knew, I can't die anywhere else except on that cross, because that's the plan and that's where the price is going to be paid. I'm talking about you and I living in the reality of the resurrection, because when he hung on that cross and he said, it is finished, what he was saying is, the price has been paid once and for all. I've paid the price. I've taken on the sins of the world, and now my life pays that price. But that wasn't all of it. That was just one part of it. And when you and I can grab a hold of the reality of the resurrection, when we can grab a hold of the reality that he really did bear your sins and mine on that cross, then we will no longer live up under guilt and shame. We will no longer live in a place where we feel like we have to keep doing things to be approved. We have to keep doing things to be accepted. Jesus settled all of that. I need about 7 of y'all to clap right now. I said, Jesus settled all of that. And the shift that needs to happen is the mindset is that you and I are living out our lives now out of this place of great purpose, this place of great destiny. Because once you came into the new birth, once you were born again, everything about you that God created for you kicked in right then. Everything that he had purposed to do in and through you. Living in the reality of the resurrection is living in the reality that death is defeated. I'm going to say that again. Death is defeated. I'm going to say it again. Death is defeated. I'm going to say it again. Death is defeated. Living in the reality, living in the reality, living in the reality of the resurrection. I'm talking about what's real. Death is defeated. And when we can live out of that place, when we have loved ones who have gone on to be with the Lord and they are in God, we will see them again. You and I will live out our lives, and at the end of our lives, when you live in the reality of the resurrection, you can say like Paul, I fought a good fight. I finished my course, and I kept the faith. He's saying, I'm leaving up out of here in victory, not defeat. I may be in prison, I may be in chains, but I'm still leaving up out of here in victory because I'm living in the reality of the resurrection. Paul said, I must know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. He's making it clear, I want to know him in every way. I need to know him in every way. You want to know him in every way. You need to know him in every way. So when you're suffering through what you're suffering through, you're doing it out of the reality of the resurrection. You're doing it out of that place of recognizing, even though I'm navigating through this difficult time, even though I'm navigating through this challenging experience, I can do it in faith. I can do it in victory. Because at the end of the day, I still win. Living in the reality of the resurrection. Living in the reality of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. I'm reading now from the New American Standard. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor is the perish able to inherit the imperishable. But behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Now I'm talking about the reality. I'm talking about the reality. I'm talking about the reality. And if you don't remind yourself of this, you'll find yourself feeling some kind of way that's less than what God has intended for you and I. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. The reality of the resurrection is that death was swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. 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 Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, you must be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work, your labor is not in vain. Not in vain. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. George, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. I'm telling you, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. I know we can hit some times where it just looks crazy and it looks like it's not working, looks like it's never going to work. But I'm telling you, in God, it's not in vain. When you're living in the reality of the resurrection, it's not in vain. Some way, somehow, he's going to work it out. Some way, somehow, he's going to bring it all together. Some way, somehow, you will recognize that he was in it all along. Death is defeated. Living in the reality of the resurrection, we recognize that our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We recognize and we see it from another plane. We see it from a higher plane. And when you and I will live out of that place, when we will live in the reality of the resurrection and the power of the resurrection, you will not allow yourself to buy into some of the stuff that you see going on and some of the stuff you're hearing right now. I'm above it. I choose to live above it. The word says I'm in the world, but not of the world. Yes, I'm going to have to deal with some things, but I'm remaining in that place where Jesus said, look, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And if I've overcome the world and I'm in you and you're in me, guess what? You overcame the world. As a matter of fact, that's what John said. He said, you overcame the world the moment you became born again. Now the question becomes, do you live it out? Do you walk it out? Or do you live your life out of a religious space? I believe one of the things that we are seeing right now, and I make no apologies in saying it, is that we're now beginning to see who's really lived out their life religiously versus those who have lived their lives out relationally. Now, I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm not saying any names. I'm just telling you what I believe by the Spirit of God we are seeing right now. It's not as bad as the separation of the wheat and tare, but it is the separation of the religious and the relational. I'm going to pause right there. See, one of the challenges that I see in the scriptures with the resurrection is who really was in relationship with Jesus and how close they related to Jesus. There was something about Mary Magdalene, and it says the other Mary deeply loved Jesus, deeply cared for Jesus, that they're going to the tomb. Now this passage says to keep vigil. Others say that they came with oils to anoint the body. But where were the disciples? Where were the disciples? And I want to say this, I recognize, hear me when I say to you, I know that there's things that hit our lives. There are things that hit our lives that we don't understand. There are things that happen that cause you and I to question everything we think we ever thought. And I can only imagine that those 11 disciples, Judas is gone now, that those 11 disciples, when they saw Jesus hanging on that cross, they were saying, what was this for? Have I wasted 3.5 years of my life? And sometimes life can move you into that kind of space. Circumstances and situations can move you into that kind of space. And you're looking and you're saying, it's not adding up now. I thought by now I'd be further along. I thought by now I'd be in this place. You must live in the reality of the resurrection. I can imagine as Jesus was hanging on that cross and all of this is going on, and in it you see the exchange between John and Jesus. John, your mother, John, son, he's saying, take care of her. And I just kind of got this image of him looking out at the different ones that have followed him, the disciples. He's saying, now stay with me, guys. Stay with me now. Stay with me. I know this looks crazy. Stay with me. I know it's not going the way you thought it was going to go, but stay with me. Because this ain't the end. It's just the beginning. I need you to stay with me. Just give me a couple days to settle some things. He said, yeah, the scripture says that he went down into the depths of hell. He went down into hell and set the record straight, Virgil. He went down into hell. Grabbed those keys. Set captives free. And the scripture says when he rose from the dead, it wasn't just him, but there were others who rose from the dead as well. So is it possible that some of them followed him religiously and others followed him relationally? Because you see, when you and I live out of a religious space, when times get hard, you may not have inside you what you really need to get through it. But when you live out of relationship and you live out of the reality of the resurrection and the power of the resurrection, you not only know or have experienced him in the power of his resurrection, but also in the fellowship of his sufferings, there's a balance that comes to it. As a matter of fact, what it does, it produces in you a maturity. Say maturity. So we can have, and we have had, and one of the things we're navigating through right now, Pastor Val, is that many are trying to figure out, is it worth going anymore? Is it worth attending anymore? Is it worth gathering anymore? And I'm saying to all of you in this room and all of you that are watching, it is still worth it. It is still worth it. As a matter of fact, it's more worth it now than it's ever been. Because what weighs in the balance is souls. What weighs in the balance is purpose. What weighs in the balance is destiny. What weighs in the balance is glory. What weighs in the balance is the advancement of the kingdom of God. And I am purposing to live in the reality of the resurrected one. Eric, I'm so glad you're back. Living in the reality of the resurrection means that you will press in, you will press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling, and you will not relent, you will not give up, you will not give in, you will stay the course, you will stick it out, because you recognize that what Jesus did for you and I, he did it completely. When he said it is finished, the price was paid once for all. I love the song recorded by Crystal Lewis. It's a song where she's talking about being in heaven before God. And he opens the books and begins to read about her life. And it's called Bloodstained Pages. And it says, the pages have been stained by the blood he shed for me. I can't read them. Neither can he. What's been forgiven is forgotten. Impossible to read. Blood-stained pages, stained by blood, shed for me. That's what he did. That's the reality of the resurrection. It starts with Jesus, it ends with Jesus. It starts with Jesus, it ends with Jesus. It starts with Jesus and it ends with Jesus. And in between that is you and I walking out purpose and destiny and walking it out in victory, walking it out as overcomers. Let me just read one more passage of scripture, if you don't mind. I got a few more minutes. Colossians 1, I'm reading now from the Message Bible again. Colossians 1, 15 through 23. We look at this sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this sun and see God's original purpose in everything. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. He was there before any of it all came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, He organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning and leading the resurrection parade. He is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, He's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is He, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in Him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies. All because of His death, His blood that poured down from the cross. You yourselves are a case study of what He has done. At one time, you all had your backs turned to God, thinking rebellious thoughts of Him, giving Him trouble every chance you got. But now, by giving Himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy in His presence. You don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in the bond of trust, constantly tuned into the message, careful not to be distracted or diverted. There is no other message, just this one. Every creature under heaven gets the same message. Hallelujah. 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 Living in the reality of the resurrection. Living in the reality, the truth of the resurrection. What's it all mean? Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love has the first and last place, last word in everything we do. Our firm decision is to work from this focused center. One man died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. I don't know about you, but I can testify that my life is better because of Jesus. My life is better because of Jesus. My life is better. My life is best because of Jesus. And my encouragement is that we live in the reality of the resurrection. Jesus said this: all power is given to me in heaven and earth. That's the reality of the resurrection. Death is defeated. That is the reality of the resurrection. And you and I have the opportunity to walk in that reality in every area of our lives. Church, settle it. God is not making this up as we go along. He's not making it up as you go along. It's already settled. And we must live our lives out of that intentionality. We must live our lives in the reality of His resurrection. Amen. Would you thank the Lord if you received anything out of the Word? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we end out, can we just worship for just a few moments? Hallelujah.